We're going to be in Revelation chapter 13 tonight, the latter part of the chapter, beginning with verse 11. And this is really talking about the second beast. We talked about the first beast being the Antichrist. Satan is going to use two wicked personalities primarily to attack people. And that was the Antichrist and the false prophet. So the first beast was mentioned in the chapter 13, verse 1. And that rises out of the sea, and the sea often speaks of humanity, multitudes of people. And so the beast or the Antichrist is going to be some demon-possessed human being with great influence. He's going to be a world dictator. And, you know, everything as we see in our world today is pointing to that right now. Everything is being consolidated and brought together. And so in chapter 13, verse 11, it says, I saw another beast, and this is the false prophet. The first is the Antichrist, but this is now the false prophet, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So the second beast is going to cause people to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist. And he has two horns like a lamb, which is giving him the appearance of gentleness and harmlessness. Sound familiar? Wolf in sheep's clothing, right? But it could also suggest that he will impersonate the Lord himself, the Lamb of God. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, it says, and Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. Yeah. And so he speaks like a dragon. He appears like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. This indicates that he will be directly inspired and empowered by Satan. Okay. Who is the dragon? Okay. And the unholy trinity, the dragon, right? The Antichrist and the false prophet. So whenever God sent prophets, okay, to his people, he always confirmed them with miracles, all right? So in verse 12, Revelation 13, verse 12, it says, and he, the second beast, exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. Now remember, when Jesus was on earth, he did what the Father did, spoke what the Father spoke. So here we see, okay, this false prophet, all right, that is basically doing everything, all these miracles, in the presence of the Antichrist, all right, the first beast. And he, the second beast, exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And there's some conjecture as to what the deadly wound is. But it talks that he was, in another place we'll read it, that where he was slain by a sword. So there's a possibility that there was some type of attempt to assassinate this individual, and he was miraculously raised up again. So again, the unholy trinity we see is the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And so they imitate, the devil always imitates what God does. All right. And the Holy Trinity, of course, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was called the Son of God. Right. The Antichrist, however, is going to be really the son of Satan. All right. Jesus was called the Son of God, but he's called the Antichrist is called the son of perdition or destruction. So the false prophet seduces people into worshiping the Antichrist. And you know, I believe the media today has a great part in this whole setup, this whole plan to get people to worship the beast. And many of these media outlets are basically false prophets that are out and about doing the business of Satan himself. And so that's how he can do it so effectively is because he has worldwide reach through the internet and through cable, right, and satellite. So this false prophet is going to seduce people into worshiping the Antichrist. But the Holy Spirit, on the other side of this, on the other hand, right, leads people to do what? Worship Jesus. Holy Spirit points to Jesus. the false prophet points to the false Christ. Okay, and so the Holy Spirit also seals those who belong to God. The false prophet is going to mark those who worship Satan. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, speaking of putting our faith in the Lord, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed, what? With the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13, Revelation 13:13, he, the false prophet, is going to perform what? Great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven. Now, who else did that in Scripture? Elijah, right? Yeah. So he's going to be just like Elijah in the sense that he's going to be a counterfeit prophet, though. And on the earth, and he's going to do this in the sight of men. He's going to wow people with these displays of power, of demonic power. And, you know, there's also a lot of that happening already, especially in Vegas and some of these places where you have all these demon magicians that are now coming forth, you know, and wowing people with their magic. And, well, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, that's what Pharaoh's magicians did, right? When they were, you know, throwing down their rods to try to copy what Moses was doing. And, however, Moses' rod swallowed up the other rods, didn't he? And but Satan empowers this false prophet to do these miracles. And so, as you know, the ability to do miracles, signs, and wonders is not always proof that a person is of God or that he's necessarily right with God, right? And sometimes people in their hunger and their desire, amen, to have an encounter and experience with God, take, you know, they don't discern. They don't take the time to prayerfully consider what's being presented, you know, and what's happening. And so they think if it's supernatural, it must be God. Well, not necessarily, right? So we need to understand, first of all, when we test a prophet, he has to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, right? And that is that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, amen? That he came in a bodily form, amen? In the likeness of Adam, all right? He has to confess that. But we also need to understand that when we test the spirits, you know, we're not able to test effectively unless we know the Word and we rely upon the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to give us discernment about a situation. So it's always good not just to swallow something because it's supernatural or it sounded good, but to pray, because sometimes the enemy can speak truth too. You know, in fact, he does it quite well. And this is how he seduces and deceives people into joining these cults. And so Jesus said in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now, I believe as God's people, we should expect miracles. Amen. But again, it's not necessarily a proof that a person is of God and that he's in right standing with God. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who what? Practice lawlessness. This is the important key here, is this person is not under the authority of God. They're operating in rogue, all right, power, which would be spirit of witchcraft, right? Okay, in verse 14 now of Revelation, it says that he deceives those who dwell on the earth. Who? The false prophet. By those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to what? Make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword, see, and lived. To do what? To make an image. Now, there's been all kinds of ideas and thoughts about what is this image? Is it going to be the television set, the computer screens? Is it going to be a literal, you know, statue like we read about in Daniel chapter 3? In verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, what, made an image of gold. And I think this is a type, a historical type of the Antichrist and how he's going to have reign over so many, over the earth, right? Then a herald cried out, verse 4, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And we know it was the three Hebrew children that refused to bow, and God supernaturally spared them in the furnace, right? Now, verse 15 says the Antichrist, the false prophet, was granted power to give breath to the image of this beast, to this image. He was given the ability to give breath to this image, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So the Antichrist is going to do what? He's going to give breath to this image to speak. It could also be referring to animation. He will be able to animate this thing, okay, to command worship and also to mete out corporal punishment to those who refuse to worship the image of the beast. So we're going to see money already, politics, religions coming together. All right. And Satan is going to be the one calling the shots. And right now we are in position as God's people, the church. Amen. And the Holy Spirit in the church are the resistance right now against this happening. And it's not going to happen until the Lord removes the restrainer. Amen. Which we believe is going to be, all right, the church, possibly in the rapture. All right. And then the Antichrist will be given the full reign at that time. And I do believe that there is an escape, by the way, because Jesus said to watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. He said, watch and pray that you may be able to escape these things. All right. And we know in Thessalonians, certainly we have not been appointed to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation, right, through our Lord Jesus Christ. This could be referring to the technology that we have today, you know, the computer technology that they're integrating with humans. I mean, they're experimenting now with transhumanism, integrating, you know, computer technology with DNA. And it's crazy, the stuff that they're doing. They're trying to develop super soldiers. They're taking DNA from cats, you know, and injecting it into the eyes of people to give them night vision and all kinds of things where they're actually implanting chips into people so that they're part human and part computer. Okay, giving them superhuman strength or ability. And this is stuff that's happening, actually, that they're working on. And it's probably more advanced than what we're seeing in the public square, for sure. But there could be, this is going to be, this image could be some type of android, you know, using artificial intelligence. And the technology today is so advanced that the computers can think faster than we can. And if they can somehow integrate us into this whole system, maybe through some type of IC chip that they're talking about, then they could automatically connect us to the whole system, be part of the whole grid, if you will, and monitor, where we're at. There are some that are saying they even will be able to tell your thoughts. They'll be able to monitor your thoughts through the technology that they want to put inside people. Okay, and of course they will use stuff such as terrorism and other reasons why we have to do this to keep everybody safe. And man possesses this. But it says in verse 16 that he's going to cause all. And that really means to force. It's not going to be an option. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that word mark means karagma, a scratch or etching, that is stamp. It could be some type of badge of servitude, or It could also mean graven or mark, certainly mark. We know the mark. And so whatever it is, it's going to be an identifying mark, okay, that you belong to the Antichrist. And so we are forbidden, right, to receive any kind of mark that would identify ourselves with the beast or false prophet. So Revelation 13:7 says that no one, this is interesting, and I know many of us are paying attention to this stuff because it's kind of obvious that we're in some crazy times right now, right? And Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. But it says, no one may what? Buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So in addition to this mark, the beast has a name and a mystical number. And unless a person takes the mark, name, or number of the beast, he's not going to be able to buy or sell. So this Antichrist is going to pressure people by economic means to forsake Christ for idolatry. And this is going to be a severe test for many. But true believers, those who really believe, amen, those who trust Jesus, will prefer death to renouncing the Lord. Amen. And guys, we don't know whether the rapture happens before this or not. We need to be prepared. Amen. So we should have already set that, you know, that standard and laid it down and said, you know what? I've already decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. You know, I by the grace of God, I will never bow down, okay, and pledge my allegiance to the beast, all right, or to Satan. I'm going to trust the Lord with my life. My life belongs to Him. God has grace sufficient for us. If we will call upon His name, there is deliverance, amen, in Jesus' name. So he's going to pressure people by economic means. Now, think about it. The forcing of a vaccination. You know, if people want to take a vaccination, it should be their choice, okay? But it should never be forced. And I'm just wondering if this is not a trial run for what they have in store. And also to desensitize people to where they're giving up their freedoms, their liberties, in the name of being safe or having provision. You know, if we start to get hungry, all of a sudden, you know, you can't go to the store unless you have this or that. Some type of passport, you can't travel. This could be the beginning of this whole thing. Food shortages. There's talk about food shortages right now. The supply chain is being disrupted over and over again. And eventually that catches up. And, you know, we need to trust the Lord, but we need to be wise. And if we need to make some provision and set some provision, pray and ask God what you should do. Amen. The prudent man sees the danger coming, the Bible says, and he makes preparation. All right. So I'm not talking about becoming paranoid. I am talking about being prepared. When God called Noah, amen, to make the ark, amen, he was not to, he says he moved with godly fear. That means he believed God when he knew God had spoken to him, and he made preparation for him and his family by building that ark, amen. Joseph was given also instruction, wasn't he, to give to Pharaoh, to set aside enough for 7 years, right? Of extra grain for a time of famine. And so that was something that God gave a practical instruction to his people so that they would be protected from the famine that was coming. So we need to not get into fear and paranoia, but we need to prayerfully consider where we're at and ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do? Not everybody can make preparation. Some people live hand to mouth every week, and but God is going to make a way. Amen. No matter what. Hallelujah. And, you know, we've decided, haven't we? We've already cast the die. We said, I'm in this all the way. I'm not turning back. I'm not looking back. I'm definitely not going to bow down to the spirit of Antichrist. And I think we're being tested to some degree right now as to what we're going to do when we're being pressured and told, even contrary to what might be your conscience, that you have to take this thing. You need to take this jab. You know, guys, I'm not here to get on either side of this issue, but I am going to say this, that if your conscience says don't, then don't. Amen? If your conscience is bothered by that, if you don't have peace about this, then don't do it. Whatever is not of faith, it can be sin, you know? So I'm saying that, you know, I'm going to do what I feel the Lord is telling me to do, and I'm not going to be forced by a government agency. Why? Because my body belongs to Jesus. It's the property of God. Amen. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I'm responsible for what I do in this body, what I allow or disallow. And I'm not here to tell you what to do. And I have had people tell me, oh, you should do this or you should do that. But I'm just saying, and I talked to somebody the other day. I said, listen, if you are giving somebody advice based upon what you feel is right, and if that advice harms that person somehow, you're going to have to live with that. That you pressured them to make a decision that they might not have even been comfortable with. They didn't have peace about it, but you felt you were doing them a favor by offering this advice to either take the jab or not take the jab. I don't want that on my conscience. Amen. I want people to make their own decision. They're adults. Amen. And as adults, we should also be protecting our children and saying, you know what? If I don't feel this is of God, I don't feel right about this, I'm not doing it. But if you have peace about it, you feel, because I've had other people say, I've had complete peace about getting this thing. And I said, well, just follow the Lord. Amen. And let's trust the Lord. But do what God is telling you to do. That's my advice. Do you think that's pretty good advice? Do what God is telling you to do. All right. I feel this falls into the category of conscience. It's a matter of conscience. Which is another teaching for another day. But this number, this mark, okay, it's a number of what? 666, which is the number of a man. We know that. And the three sixes speak of this trinity, I believe, of evil. The dragon, right? The Antichrist and the false prophet. And it's an impossible list of numbers, of suggestions, you know, as to what 666 is. I mean, Ronald Reagan had 666 back in the day on his license plate, you know. Remember Gorbachev? Some of you have been around long. Gorbachev had the scar. He was the Antichrist because he had the scar, you know. And it can get crazy. But I believe the Lord is going to make clear when the time comes and when it really happens. If we're here, whatever it is, this we do know, that it is a mark of ownership. It is a seal that Satan will put on his. Because you and I in Christ are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I don't believe that you're going to accidentally receive the mark. Luke 16, verse 13, Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and wealth. Guys, we can't be in this for this world. Amen. This world is passing away. We invest ourselves now. We live for the Lord today. Amen. We be good stewards over what God entrusts to us. All right. Knowing that here we have no continuing city. But some have said also that there's an international number. Have you heard about that? There's an international number assigned for every citizen on planet Earth already. It's a 16 digit, I believe. And, it will involve your Social Security number and, of course, 666 after that. And I think it's 110, and I don't remember exactly what it was. But, you know, there's a lot of information out there. In fact, information overload. But we are certainly heading for a cashless society. Everything is being set up. This one world religion, you know, the ecumenical movement, all the religions coming together. And say, Larry, we are the world. We've just come together and for the sake of peace, you know. And one world dictator is going to rise out of this, who's going to come to power, and he's going to rule the world with an iron fist. He's going to cause all or force everybody to receive this identifying mark, or else they will be put to death. So we know that the Lord has warned us already. That we have to make a decision today who we will serve. And, I guess I shouldn't be, but I am somewhat shocked at how many people are so quick to just believe things that they hear on the media, you know, without really cross-examining anything. And so much of the media is being controlled. Any of the whole narrative is being controlled. That's why we really need to know what the Word of God says. Amen. We need to be wise according to the truth. And but Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man." Come on. It's not about science, is it? I'm not against science, all right? But whose science are we talking about? Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. However, I love this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, hallelujah, and will not fear when heat comes. It will not what? Fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The Lord told us not to worry about our life, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. Don't worry about tomorrow. Amen. He's going to take care of those who trust him one way or another. And you know, like Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I like to just finish with this and say, why don't we just rejoice in the Lord? Okay, enjoy the journey with Jesus every day. Amen. Brighten somebody else's day up. Do something good for somebody else. Amen. A lot of people right now don't know where else to turn, don't know where there's any hope, you know, but we have hope because we have the Lord. He's with us. He's on our side. We're on his side. He's going to see us through. Hallelujah. He said, when we walk through the waters, he would be with us. Amen. And through the rivers, they would not overflow us. So his grace is sufficient for us. He's going to sustain us through it all. And through it all, we're learning to trust in Jesus. We're learning to trust in God. Hallelujah. So rejoice in the Lord always, right? As Paul said, and again I say, rejoice. And in Ephesians 6, he said, what? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God every day. Hallelujah. So, amen. We win no matter what. And remind yourself when things look so hopeless and so sad and so bad that the Lord is going to make a new heavens and a new earth. Amen. He's going to make all things new. Hallelujah. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. In that day, every knee's going to bow. So they may think that they're getting away with all this stuff now. The Antichrist himself, amen, is going to bow. Hallelujah. And he's going to declare Jesus Christ as Lord.